Well, good morning to everybody. Let's just open with a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and for your grace. We just really are thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us at the cross of Calvary. We know that we have eternal life, and we are so thankful for the fact that we can be confident that we have a life that never ends. And we also would just pray now, reminding us what it says in the Word of God, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ Jesus. May we be attentive this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning to everybody. You are saints and some sinners. That's right. I can't tell one from the other, but saints and sinners are certainly in this room. So if you are a sinner and have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in what he has done, certainly as some of the songs we sung kind of remind us that there is some judgment. And the last song we just sang, who I did not ask George to have us sing, concluded with the phrases about eternal life. Eternal life is something that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to every sinner. And yet, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ already, we are referred to as saints, and yet it's very troubling to all of us, I believe, when we realize that as saints, we still sin. We are saints who sin. Isn't that very disturbing to you? I know certainly it is to me, and yet we also realize, we do realize, that we have not been called to go home to be with the Lord, where we will never struggle again with sin and the thoughts and the intents that are in our heart. Those days are coming. Those days are coming. But right now, we are saints that often sin, and sometimes that causes us to have liver shivers because we really don't like the fact that time after time, we wind up sinning. And so the message that we have today is going to be focused on assurance of our salvation. But I would also like to bring this passage to mind just before we get into a little bit more of the meat of the matter. In 1 John chapter 1, John, the apostle, writes that, you know, he wants all of us to enjoy fellowship with God, fellowship one to another. And we also would read in the chapter 1 of 1 John, and you can go there later on and just really meditate on these precious words. We would read things that would remind us that, you know, like, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You've heard those words before. You can shake your head, say, yeah, I've heard that. And we know that there's absolutely no darkness in God or in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in 1 John, right in the opening verses, he stresses that he is going to show to you how you can have eternal life and how you can be rock sure of that. Right at the end of 1 John, in chapter 5, we would read this, and this is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have God, does not have the life. But we also see this, just to make that point. What happens to saints who sin? Do we lose our salvation? Do you think that? No, we can never, ever, ever lose our salvation. But for saints who sin, And I would say, looking at the audience, that's probably most of us, if not everybody in this room. What happens when we sin, since the Lord Jesus Christ, since God is holy, since He is light, what happens to us? We lose fellowship. Losing fellowship is not the same thing as losing your salvation. Remember, you can't lose your salvation once you have it. But your fellowship can be interrupted. And there's a way that it says clearly in this first chapter what we do when we have sinned and when we have now been put out of fellowship. It's not like coming in front of the meeting here and you're kind of scolded and put out of fellowship. But when we sin, our fellowship with God has been interrupted, and our fellowship with God has been interrupted, and therefore our fellowship one to another has also been interrupted. Until we come to God, as it says in verse 9 of that first chapter, we confess our sins. When we confess our sins, the Word of God says He is faithful. He is just, and He will forgive us our sins, and we are back in fellowship with Him. But assurance of salvation is what we want to really address today. So remember, saints who sin, you'll never, ever lose your salvation. You are eternally secure. And if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen very carefully. In fact, I would hope everybody listen very carefully. You know, but there is a way for you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Assurance is an interesting word. I don't know how it gets translated into Spanish or some of the other languages, but the idea of assurance gives you the idea of a guarantee. Guarantee. Security. You're safe. The idea of assurance means that there is a certainty that you can have in your mind. It's a freedom from doubt. It's confidence. That's what assurance is. It gives you confidence. All self-doubt is removed. I am sure that there are people sitting in this room who have sinned after you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have wondered whether or not you're on your way to hell, whether or not your profession of faith was true or not. You think about that for a moment. Think about some of those dark moments in your life where you've trusted the Lord, and then you have failed. You have failed miserably. You've crashed and burned. And the accuser of the brethren and sisterin, Satan, you almost feel or sense that he is whispering in your ear. You don't really belong to him. He doesn't love you anymore. Look what you have done. And you listen to a lie, and your world falls apart, and you're filled with all sorts of doubt and anguish. But the Word of God is what we really need to turn to, and we are going to look at passages this morning that will help us to remember that we are rock certain of our salvation. He is never going to cast us out. We will never stand condemned in the judgment. His grace is so sufficient. Romans 5, verse 20, the second part of verse 20, says, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. That is wonderful, wonderful news. It's the good news. Coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, He fills our heart with incredible joy and grace because of what He has done. There's a hymn that is very precious to my wife, Marge, and it is a hymn that I have come to love. And I think that as you hear these words, I think of the assurance of salvation in a words like this. And it's not the song, the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. That's where I wanted to go first, but then I think this is better. Listen to these words. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great, unchangeable I Am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Savior and my God, with Christ, my Savior and my God. Assurance of salvation, what is it? It is confidence. We never need to be shaken. We do know that by faith in Jesus Christ alone and his finished work at the cross of Calvary, every sin was paid for in full. And as I said a moment ago, we will never stand condemned in the judgment at all. We have been given eternal life that cannot and will not be taken away from us. What a gift. God gives only good gifts. No Indian giver is he, and I don't mean that to be funny. It's an expression in America, but it's not something that he will give you today and take back later. He won't do that. He won't do that at all. We have been regenerated. We have been born again. We have been born from above. We have been given a new life. We have been put into God's family. We are heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of the assurance of salvation is very, very, very important. It's something that when a person trusts the Lord Jesus, isn't that one of the first things that you are told? Do you remember? Trust the Lord for your salvation. And usually then you hear, and that is a gift that will never be taken away. Never. You can't undo what God gives to you. You can't do that. We have new life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are reminded that we are a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. All right? So we have a new life. We have a new purpose. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternally secure. So why do we keep on sinning? Because we are still in the flesh. We are still in the flesh, and so we could turn this whole message around and talk about the two natures that we have. We are saints who sin. When we walk by the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we don't walk according to the Spirit, and as we make choices that may be bad choices, we can think sinful thoughts and do sinful deeds. Glenn talked about that fork in the road. Yogi Berra, number 8 of the New York Yankees, world champion so many times over, once said, when you come to a fork in the road, you take it. Don't know what he means. You have a choice to make, though, Yogi, and we have a choice to make. But we have been given, every believer in Christ has been given the Holy Spirit, and that is something that is given to you the moment you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been sealed with the Spirit of God. He is that helper that has been given to you to help you in your walk. God has not left us alone. We are not left alone to try to figure things out by ourselves. Not only has He given us the Holy Spirit to help us, He's given to us His precious word, the Bible, and He has also put us into His family. And look at us. We're sitting here this morning. We are part of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We keep each other accountable. And we can come and say, you know, I'm really struggling with something. I'm sinning. I am sinning and I need some help. People don't come and say, you know, I'm sinning and I'm out of the family of God. I've been cast away. That will never, never happen. So we struggle with temptation and sin because we still have our old nature called the flesh to deal with. And if we walk by the Spirit, and I wanted you to hear this again, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We know about Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren. But we also have sometimes friendly fire in the church. You know what friendly fire is? On the battleground, sometimes there are casualties among our own troops when another one of their comrades or brothers or sisters in arm fire upon them accidentally and they become casualties, maybe wounded, maybe they become killed in action. Friendly fire. And there are some believers in the Church of Christ who have not yet understood the importance of the assurance of salvation. They haven't gotten it yet. They really believe that because they've sinned or you sin, that you're on your way to hell. You really don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can someone else look into your heart? How can we make judgments of motives and who we belong to? It's God who really knows all those that belong to Him. And He knows that all of us, on any particular day of the week or hour of the day or moment of the day, who knows what's going on in our heart and life? Who knows what God is teaching you? He's teaching you lessons that very well may be different from the lessons that He's teaching me. I am a saint who sins. I need help. I need help from God. I need help when I submit myself and surrender to His perfect will, and when I want to be filled with the Spirit of God in my heart and life, and I want to walk with Him. I don't want to be cast off. But there are people who are in the Church of God who are great legalists. They are tremendous legalists. They are grace killers. They want to suck the grace out of people's life. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. And they will impose upon other believers in Christ. You want to have victory over sin in your life? You have to try harder. You have to do more. You have to do things to earn more of God's grace. more of His love. You can't do anything more. You can't do any more than what God has already given to you. The gift of God is so precious. We know that there is none of us here, none of us here who belong to Christ would stand up and say, I'm proud of the times that I have sinned. We hate that. We hate sin in our own heart and life because we know that sin is something that God hates. But we're talking about the assurance that He has given to us, the blessed assurance. To combat those that are legalists who think that you can try harder to keep salvation, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, these words. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? How many here thinks that our flesh profits us anything? No hands are up. Let the jury know that no hands have gone up in answer to that question. The flesh profits us nothing because we know that our fleshly thoughts, our fleshly actions are sinful. Those righteousnesses based on our good works, they don't earn us brownie points with God. We are secure in our salvation. In the book of Philippians, the first chapter, the very first chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul also wrote something that I think is pretty important for us to understand. He said, I am sure of this. This is Paul writing. I am sure of this. That sounds like assurance. That He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring it to completion. It's His work. If you belong to Him, He is doing quite a work in your heart and life. Now, I want to say, holy smokes, where's the time going? I got so much more to tell you. So here we go. We're going to do a quick walk through the Bible. And, you know, like you can just listen. Heart. All of our hearts. It certainly spoke to me. These are assurances based on the promises in the Word of God concerning our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know that verse. That's John chapter 3, verse 16. Emeritus Professor Ken Fleming of Emmaus Bible College tells this story. He trusted the Lord as a young man, a boy at camp. And yet he struggled. He trusted the Lord, and yet he struggled with how long is that salvation that he was just told he had. How long is that going to last? So his camp counselor, I'm going to read this from something that I saw in a little booklet that Ken gave me once. So his camp counselor took him to this verse, John 3:16, and asked him on the basis of this verse whether he had everlasting life. His counselor And so Ken Fleming said, yes, John 3:16 tells me as a believer, I have everlasting life. So then his counselor asked him that, and listen to this carefully, just listen to it. If he had everlasting life, when would it end? When would it end? Ken saw the counselor's point immediately and realized that if the life is everlasting, it can never, 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 did you hear that? Never end. And the Word of God says so And that is a very important verse that we turn to often. It is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another place in John's gospel, and John has a lot to say about the assurance of salvation. He says this in verse 37 of chapter 6. All the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Never cast out. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that Bible and you look that up, maybe it's a red letter edition, you'll see, oh gee, red letters, that's the word of Jesus Christ himself that John has copied. But Jesus is the living word. So what you have in your hands, if you are using a Bible this morning, that is the word of God. He is the eternal word. A few verses later, in John chapter 6, verse 40, we read this, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him," get this, "should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Has eternal life. Another classic place to look in the Word of God. Salvation. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Listen to this carefully. This is the passage about the great shepherd. And he's talking about his sheep. His sheep, Rita. His sheep. We are sheep of his. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one. No one will take them out of his hand. And then the Lord goes on and says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." It's like, here's Jesus' hand. We are secure in that. And just for safekeeping, God the Father's hand is right there too. You know, who's going to arm wrestle with God? Either one of them. No way. I and the Father are one, secure in the hands of Jesus. Listen to that one of Fanny Crosby's songs. Where is that? Safe in the arms of Jesus. Either way you look at it, we are safe in Jesus. Another, as we kind of have to start wrapping up, would be a very key passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, so many verses in this chapter that are great. But in starting at verse 35 through verse 39, there are 17 things secure in our assurance of salvation, our confidence. 17 things that are going to be mentioned in these verses that I would like to read. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Here are some of them that are going to be mentioned. Then there'll be a little commercial interruption right in the middle in the passage. But some of the things. "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Commercial. "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And now, more of the 17 items. "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation." That includes all of us. We are part of those in creation. Self-doubt won't take us away. Creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the first little page of some of my notes. Maybe another time we will complete this. But what's very, very important for all of us to know, we have a lot to rejoice about. I know that every one of us, when we realize that we have sinned, we need to run to Jesus, we need to turn from our sin, we need to confess it. Do you think that we surprise him by our sin? He's not surprised. Certainly, we know that we hate the sin as much as he hates the sin. And we want to learn how to sin less. We don't want to keep on going on that way. The world looks at our sins, and when we are persisting in them, you know, they see us as a bunch of hypocrites. We love the Lord. We do love the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 simply says this. I love these words. It's very simple. The first verse of chapter 2 says, my little children, don't sin. Don't sin. But if anyone sins, and that would be all of us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for all of our sins. Little children, don't go out here this morning and persist in sinning. Don't do that. But if you do, when you sin, we have an advocate. He's praying for me. The Lord prays for me. The Lord prays for you. What does he pray about regarding you? What does he pray? How does he pray for your life and what you're going through? Be strong in the things of the Lord. Don't be shaken, having your confidence just fall apart. Rejoice in what the Lord has given to you. You belong to him. You belong to him. You identify with him. He loves you so much. He saved you for his purpose because he loves you so much. Father, I thank you that it says so clearly in your word that we have seen and bear witness that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who by one sacrifice for sin has perfected us forever. We have his righteousnesses. We have redemption. We are so blessed. The fact that there is nothing that can separate us from you. And let us be quick that, as it says in Hebrews, that although we can be plagued by besetting sin, we always have a way out. We always have a way back to you by confessing our sins and trusting you. We can trust Jesus always. You are everything to us, everything. Just bless us, encourage us. And help us, we pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.